Glory to God. Good preaching this morning. Hallelujah. Do I have to love everybody? That means that you have to love me. You know, even when I say things that are hard to hear. Amen. I'd like you to turn to 2 John. Amen. Verse number 1. It says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, or the flesh of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Amen. You know, his commandments haven't changed. The rules of this world change every day. But God's law, God's provision, God's principles never change, regardless of how society changes. Verse 6 says, and this is love, that we walk after the commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I'm going for the whole thing. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him good speed is partaker of his evil deeds. I don't open my door or open my head, open my ears. Well, tell me what you believe. You know, God's saying, don't do that. You know what truth is. Stay with the truth, all right? Having many things to write to you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Hallelujah. Here John is complimenting a lady who is in a high position of the church, perhaps even a pastor of a church or a presbyter, and John has found her serving the Lord as she did from the very beginning, and it thrills him that nothing has changed in her life. He's rejoicing that you're the same as when you were brought into the church. He rejoiced greatly that he found her and her children walking in truth. He then begged her to continue in the commandments she received from the very beginning. He ends with, I have many things to tell you, but instead of texting you, I would speak to you face to face. Glory to God. You know, you can ambush people by texting them and emailing them because you're not face to face. I'm in the same position that John was in. I rejoice when people are in the church and they're doing well, but I lament when people fail to continue living for God like they did when he first came in. There just isn't anything as pure as somebody who just came into this truth and says, this is the most fantastic thing I've ever seen. I see a very clear path that we must all take to experience all of what God has for us. There can't be a letting down. I've come this far, and let somebody else do it. God made it very plain in His Word with very little room for opinion or any kind of private interpretation. Thank God for a clear message that never changes, and His experience never changes in our life. So I become the cheerleader for those who are excited about God, but also for those who have grown a little cold in their soul. My wife was a captain of a varsity cheerleader when I was in high school, and I learned a lot from her. Amen. Are you ready? Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an S.
S.
And what does that spell? Maybe you want to do a few cheers like you. Yeah. Beat 'em, bust 'em, that's our custom. If God be for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good. For them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Push them back, way back. You got to hold that line. What worked in the world can work in the church. How can they get all excited and be called fans and we're called fanatics when we get excited about God? Hallelujah. Have you ever considered that there are angels that are actual cheerleaders in heaven, and every time we get excited about it, there's a excitement in heaven cheering our advancement in the kingdom of God and how far we have come? God very much wants us to succeed in all things. He is our greatest cheerleader. He's the one who encourages us the most. 3 John 1 and 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And that word prosper means the help on the road to succeed in reaching your goal, and may be in health even or as thy soul prospereth. So in other words, as you prosper spiritually, you prosper financially, and in your health, God wants us, well, to do well. He's backing us. He doesn't back failures. And He wants to give us stuff. Perhaps just to, make us happy. And God wants us to have good health. He does. Amen. But it's all predicated how well you're doing spiritually. There is a contingency, a condition that goes with the blessing. And that is that we first do well spiritually. I remember hearing a speaker at an insurance conference, and he was a pastor of a church, and he said people wanted him to have priorities in his life. And then they gave him a list of things that a book said he should read and schools and seminars he should go to. But it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things are added onto us. Sometimes, God, if you'll give me this, if you'll heal me. No, it's just the opposite, you see. Because the spiritual being is much more important than wealth or health. And if we decline spiritually, eventually the other areas of our life suffer. if we decline spiritually, all these other things will eventually decline. There's no question about it, because God's the one who holds those things for us. Our health and our wealth and our job and our family and our peace and our comfort. He knows what we can handle based on our spiritual condition. And God will never jeopardize our salvation with prosperity. This concept is illustrated in the dedication of Solomon's temple. You know, they sacrificed so much for the temple. But God says, you know, what if I allow some things to happen in your life? Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, and starting in verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Okay, what if things aren't going well for you? What if there's forest fires? What if there's a pandemic? What if there's a downturn in our economy? What if I allow these things to happen in your nation, or whether it is in your life? 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayers that is made in this place, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. We're talking about the house of God. But we're also talking about this vessel as well. Amen. What will we do? The question is, you built this great place, a place of sacrifice, a place where my name can really be lifted up, because we're the people who know who Jesus really is. But what would you do? For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place, if my people. The word if is a very unlikely word used today. It's not liked by a lot of people, because people don't like any kind of conditions put on them. Accept the Lord as your Savior, be happy, be blessed, pour some oil on your driveway and get a Cadillac. Just give me the blessings without any kind of restraints. When God is saying you can't have the blessing without some kind of restrictions, some kind of resistance, it's just His law. People want to make it easy, but it wasn't easy for Jesus. God, why aren't my prayers being answered? Why am I going through some of the things that I'm going through? Perhaps it's because we haven't answered the letters that God sent us in the first place. I sent you 66 letters, and they all came back unread. You know, God, I need a financial blessing. And God says, oh, I sent you a letter about that. in Malachi, the third chapter. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Did you read my letter? You're asking me for something that I already wrote you about. If my people, you see, God won't obligate himself if we don't obligate ourselves to him. It's just the way. I don't want to be frustrated in a Pentecostal church. I don't want to get to the place where, you know, I know God could, but he won't because I didn't. Don't you just love voicemail? Remember when real humans answered the phone? And I feel like some voicemail is as effective as a mailman talking to the mailbox. You know? I think humans should communicate with each other. Amen. Oh, it is convenient for me to text people and people to text me, but, you know, it lacks something, you know? I'll send you an email. I have my people contact your people. No, no, God's saying, I'd like a face-to-face, you know? I don't want, like John says, I don't want to write pen and paper. I want a face-to-face. God, you know, he's not high-tech. He just wants a face-to-face with people today. Yet, there's some of us that have gotten a voicemail from God, and we never answered it. Brother Schumacher, this is God calling again. I couldn't get through because you were thinking about something else. If you will return my call, perhaps I can help you with that thing. Amen. Well, can the pastor return the call? Can my Sunday school teacher return the call? How about the youth pastor? Can he help with that? No, I need a face-to-face with you. Do you know why some people don't talk to God? Because they're afraid of what God's going to say. Moses, you go talk to God. I'm a little afraid. Throughout the scripture, it is unmistakable that God conditionally gives his promises and his blessings to people based on how they react. God will not provide if we don't meet his conditions, his prerequisites. Amen. Glory to God. I wish we sometimes didn't have those restrictions. It'd be a lot easier for people, but you know what? God doesn't want a whole church of namby-pamby weak Christians. He wants people who have to restrain from certain things in order to get what God wants to give them. God will not provide. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him." If you'll open the door. I was impressed Friday night with people who came here to pray. There was a move of God. There weren't a lot of us. Saturday morning, I was impressed. A lot of people that were here, they came to pray. They wanted to hear the voice of God. They wanted a door open. It just doesn't happen with a little effort. It takes a lot of effort to get into the throne room of God. Not that he doesn't love us. We heard that God loves every one of us, but if we really want God to help us. So we can clearly understand from this verse that Jesus will not come into fellowship with anyone who does not hear his voice and somehow open the door. Walk through it. Esther came in to the king. She was afraid that her life would be in jeopardy, because you don't come to the king unless the king calls for you. But he saw her beauty. And he summoned her. And he raised his scepter and said, "What is it? To the half of my kingdom." God sees us in the vestibule. God sees us in the pews. He sees us in the beauty of holiness. And he says, "Come into my throne room. What is it that you want? I'll give you whatever you want. Amen. Because I'm attracted to your holiness." Amen. Glory to God. Our church has been experiencing spontaneous spiritual outpourings of the Holy Ghost. And I said yesterday morning, it talked about it in the second chapter of Joel. It also talked about it in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that in the end times, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the former rain moderately, but in the latter rain, there's going to be a deluge. We are living, there is no question in my mind, we are living in the very end times. The curtain is about to close. And what should be happening is there should be a deluge. There should be a pouring out of God's Spirit. We should see more miracles and wonders and signs within the church. We live so far below the privilege that God has given each and every one of us. If we'll push in. Why? Because we value holiness and faithfulness and prayer and praise in good times and in bad times and in giving. Amen. Amen. I'm the cheerleader. Some have no problem giving financially, but they have a real problem giving up of their time. But if we will not subject ourselves to the conditions of God, then God is not obligated to pour out his Spirit and give us the blessings that we truly desire. I want to see some great things happening in this church. Some people have caught the vision. That's why we have to be careful to respond to God. If we don't, he won't. I should be praying now more than 44 years ago. And here are the steps that will follow. If we really want God, there are four steps. Heaven is shut up, and a spiritual drought overtakes us. The joy of living for God departs. These are things that are going to happen in the end time. People are going to have a problem with faithfulness. They're going to have a problem with believing that God can do what he said he was going to do. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There will be people who are saying, "Hey, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Society says I don't have to." Life becomes one extended famine in your life. Serving God becomes an obligation. Praising becomes superficial. Other people's worship is a source of irritation. And even attendance at the house of the Lord is insincere. I'm a cheerleader. So what if I have some of these feelings? First, we need to check our voicemail. Has God been talking to you? Have you just not picked it up? I've been there, folks. I know what it's like. I've had God prompt me to do this and do that, and well, I'm going to get to that. See, I'm working for God. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Maybe stop what you're doing and respond to what God is saying right now. And then read his mail. Amen. If my people, contingent, if they'll humble themselves, if they'll pray, if they'll seek my face, if they turn from doing what they wanted to do what I want them to do, then I will. I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land, heal their body, heal their family, heal their finances. All of a sudden, you'll be content wherever you are with whatever you have. There are four steps to God's conditional blessings. God gives them to us in order of their importance and is essential to complete the restoration that we have going. God loves a good restoration project. Amen. You know, you can see a brand new car driving down the road and think nothing of it, but when you see something that's old that has been restored, ta-da! Number one, humility is the first condition. Maybe because pride precedes a fall, Proverbs 16 and 18. I'm so proud that I am humble. Arrogance, defiance, self-praise. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. I worship like nobody else worships. It's not just once humble, always humble. It's more than a 12-step program. It's an everyday program. Amen. Nothing demonstrates humility more than submission. But God told me, really. It is the first step to opening the windows of heaven. A broken spirit is number one. God loves it. Humble, broken, meek spirit. You can't get the attention of God if you don't have that. Number two is we have to pray. Pray. Praying still works like nothing else works. We've seen it when people get together and want to pray on a Friday and then a Saturday, and all of a sudden on Sunday morning, you wonder what happened. Something great has entered here. It worked for Daniel. It worked for Paul. It worked for the early church. It shook the place where they prayed. Hallelujah. They prayed until an answer came, until the power of God worked miracles. Prayer will help us rediscover the authority that we have over our enemy. The strength to do the will of God comes from being on our knees, not just in a song service. It will even overcome coldness and apathy and being spiritually lethargic. All of a sudden, we get off our knees and we're feeling the presence of God like we haven't for a long, long time. But prayer is work. Worship is fun. But prayer means you got to get out of bed. Prayer means you have to be in an uncomfortable place. Fellowship cannot replace prayer. Oh, I love to get together with the church. What kind of game should we play? Good works can't replace prayer. Sunday school can't replace it. Teaching Bible studies can't. In fact, your Bible study won't even be effective without prayer. God wants to send a refreshing to us through prayer, getting on our knees. It's not outdated. It's not something we did when we first came into the church. It's something that becomes a regular part of every day for us. The third thing is we must seek his face. It means to long for God. I can't wait to get to church. You know, my wife can tell you, we always take the evangelist, we take the missionary out for lunch or dinner or those people who occupy this pulpit, and I can't remember a time where I sat down at a table with one of these men without breaking down and just weeping at the table. Because there's something about talking about the things of God and getting close to God that it revives me. And to exert some real effort to be in his presence, it is going to take some effort. It's not because of the pastor or other saints that are prayer warriors. It's your effort to get into the presence of God. Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him or crave God in worship. Turn to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with half your heart. All your heart, with all your soul. Well, I came, I occupied for 1 hour. But did you seek God with everything you had? He's going to be there. And the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you'll find me. I want to be tenacious towards God, even to the point of just being stubborn. I've been there where I've said, God, I'm not leaving the altar until you touch me. God, I have to feel your presence somehow, some way. God's waiting for somebody to do that. It shows that we're really serious. I wanted a job in insurance. And there was a opening for a claims adjuster trainee. I think I was 21 at the time. And I made application, had an interview with a company out of New York. And I called every other day. I made a nuisance of myself. I remember after about the 7th or 8th call, the guy says, "Come in." Sometimes, maybe we got to get to that place with God. God, I've been asking you, and I've been asking you. Hallelujah. Persistent. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. 4th, last but not least, God calls us to turn from our ways to his ways. There are some things perhaps in my life that annoys God. The only way we can do that is through repentance and through change. God, I am sorry, and I'm not going to do it anymore. And all of a sudden, the windows are thrown open. Now, what do you want? Take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Second Corinthians 7, verse number 1, there, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, and have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation, For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoiced the more. Now it gets a little heavy. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I'm sorry. And I'm going right back to what I did. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of again. God won't restore the blessings if we won't turn from the things that he asked us to leave alone. I like the next part. Then I will hear. God hears, and more importantly, he answers our prayer and our petitions if we go through what he said. If my people, Psalms 34 and 6 says this, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If I could be that poor man that was just completely sold out to God, that spent time with him, that turn my back on those things that I know that God is not happy with, then you're going to hear from heaven and you're going to take care of all my troubles. Glory to God. Amen. And that could be every one of us. Amen. Do you expect me to live holy? To pray? Do you expect me to be early at church? Do you expect me to pray before service and pray after service and maybe even prepare a message every once in a while? No. I'm on the same level that you are. God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. Probably some of you will be rewarded greatly in heaven. Perhaps even more, because you never got any notoriety, you never had a position, but you were faithful, 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 talked to God, sought after the face of God. God, let the searchlight of heaven fall on me. If there's anything in my life, God, I want it removed because I don't want anything to come between you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I just want everything that God can give me. And I want to rejoice in this church. I am so glad I'm a part of this congregation because there are people who are so dedicated and so faithful. Hallelujah. You know, Sunday night, no, we're not packed out like Sunday morning, but there are people who are going to always be faithful. We probably have the greatest attendance of all of the churches in Wisconsin on a Sunday night because we have church on a Sunday night. And we're never going to change from having church on a Sunday night. Because if we get closer to the end times, before the trumpet sounds, we need more of God. We need more church. We need encouragement from each other. And every one of us is a cheerleader. Come on, you can do it. Beat them, bust them. That's our custom. Give us a J. Amen. As we've got to make it together. I guess the Olympics are just about over. I don't know if today is the last day of the Olympics. I haven't heard much of it. But then it starts the Olympics for those who are handicapped in some way. And there's a greater love among those people than there is to those who have it all together physically. I've seen little clips of handicapped running a race and one fell down and the other just stops and says, come on, we can make it together. That's us, folks. You see somebody stumbling? Come on. We can make it together. And that's the purpose for the church, folks. You can't do this race by your own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, you better stand now. Contingencies. If you will, I will. Amen. Glory to God. He's got a lot of stuff for you. A lot of blessings for you. Amen. You know, if your kids are naughty, do you want to give them things? Probably not. Maybe a little ice cream after service, you know. Why? Because it encourages them to do the wrong thing. Oh, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Well, remember that voicemail I left you? You never did respond. Glory to God. But when they're doing good, oh my Lord, hallelujah. I want to give them fountain pens. Ralph Lauren's clothes. The desires of their heart. Because it feels good to give people things that are doing well. How much more does God feel good about giving something to those who are living for Him? Amen. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?